Good to be with you all this morning. Good to see everyone here. I'd invite you to open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. It's where we'll be. It's where we'll begin anyway, in Proverbs chapter 26, where there's a cluster of words here in the 26th chapter of Proverbs. Words of wisdom, wisdom to live by, words that will bring us an incredible amount of success in all that we do as individuals and certainly as the people of God. These are things that we need to keep in mind. These are also things that we're going to talk about this morning. That in the process of time, we lose our grip on and we forget about, and it's not usually in the forefront of our mind as something of dire importance and something of judgment and eternity. And so, unfortunately, that's just how it is. We've got to remind ourselves over and again, just as Paul told Timothy, give attention to reading. Give attention to reading the Bible. Because not only with these things, but so many things in the process of time, we begin to lose sight of. And so this lesson, I'm sure, will serve as only a reminder, but a very important one. I'm sure that there's very little, if anything, that would be new to any of us in what we're about to read. Nevertheless, I think we'd all walk away from these scriptures realizing how valuable it was for us to sit down and take a look at these things again. Proverbs 26 and verse 17, he says, "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I'm only joking.' For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no whisper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." Now here, the writer writes, you know, words of wisdom, all of which pertain to the tongue and to the heart. And you can't have one without the other. You can't have the tongue without the heart, or the heart without the tongue. Now, as the writer points out, you can have deception. Okay? And the tongue can appear one way when the heart is another way. Now, that's one thing that is interesting about the world, is more often than not, the world is very true to exactly who they are. And what is in their heart is also on their tongue, okay? And before their eyes, and everything through and through. It is a shame that on the opposite side of affairs, that we can't all enjoy that kind of integrity. And I'm not saying that that is true integrity, what we find in the world. But we have to be honest that it is impressive that what's on their lips is what's truly in their heart. But what about the Christian? What about the one striving to serve God? Do we have the kind of integrity for our hearts to be pure and our tongues to be pure? Now, he talks here about a lot of aspects of the tongue, meddling. You know, that's a kind of an interesting proverb there in verse 17, the idea of one who meddles. You know, one who gets in the way of another quarrel, one who puts themselves in another situation in which they have no business being, they're like someone who sees a wild passing dog along the way and decides to go up and pick that dog up by the ears. Now, what's going to happen in that situation? You're going to get bit. You know, it's not going to be a good circumstance. He says, the man who deceives his neighbor, the man who deceives his friend, his family member, his brother or sister in Christ, whatever it may be, the man who deceives them, and afterward, when he's caught in the deception, he says, I was only joking. I'm only kidding around. You know? He says, that's a madman. You know, the same is a madman. Who throws around death, who throws around arrows of death, trying to slay, trying to harm, and afterwards he says, I'm only kidding. You ever heard anything like that? People throwing arrows at others? I was only joking. The proverb writer says, that's madness. You know, that's crazy. That is not a true and a pure heart. He talks about whispering words in verse 22. He says, they're delicious morsels. Everyone loves gossip, right? You know, juicy. It is juicy. And he points that out. They're delicious morsels. Absolutely. It doesn't mean we should be eating them. It doesn't mean we should be ingesting them. It doesn't mean it's good or healthy for us. And he points out something interesting about gossip. He says, they're delicious morsels. They go down the inner parts of the body. Gossip is a lot like food. Now there could be folks that could say, oh, you can tell me anything. It's just going to go in one ear, out the other, or something like that. Or, oh, don't worry, you know, you can tell me. It's not gonna affect anything. And we're just asking for it, right? We're asking for gossip because the thing is, the words in which we share with one another do not just go in one ear and out the other, all right? The writer in all of his inspired of God wisdom specifically says that it's like food. It's like delicious food, and it goes all the way down, all right? It goes down to the inner parts of the body, and it sits there. It doesn't just leave. He talks about hate as well. And the deception of hate. And how one who can have a hateful heart, in verse 25, the hateful heart can speak graciously. But the writer says, but don't believe it. All right. One who has a hateful heart is not gracious. He says there are seven abominations in his heart. And so in all of this, he talks about, I skipped over some of it that I want to reference a little bit later. All of this points out things we've all seen. We've seen it in the world. Maybe we've even seen it in the church. We have to be so careful with our tongues. Our tongues are so powerful. They can benefit us and they can benefit the entire world in such a special and valuable way. Words are tremendous. God has blessed us with the tongue, and He has blessed us with that form of communication. And it's incredible. But we need to use it as the blessing that it is. When we come to the New Testament text, we find in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, Paul writing to the church says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Don't let any word of corruption come out of your mouth. He says, only good. Let good come out of your mouth. Things that will edify, okay? And the word edify means to build up. It comes from the word edifice, okay? A building that's strong. We want to make people stronger. And so that is our aim as Christians, is to make one another stronger, to use our words effectively to bring others to eternal life. So, let no corrupt word, let no word of corruption come out of your mouth. The proverb writer just got done with talking about these things that we get involved in. Whispering, gossiping, meddling, you know, all kinds of different... It's hatefulness. It's hatefulness. It's often rooted in jealousies or envies, or there could be all kinds of things going on. I don't know. But these things are, we need to be so careful about, because it is a matter of judgment. And it's a matter of purity. It's a matter of sinfulness or versus sinlessness. And so we've got to watch what we say. And you know, we sing that song with the children, right? Watch your mouth. What it says. All right, there's a Father up above looking down with tender love. So watch your mouth, what it says. I believe that's how it goes anyway, something like that. We teach that to our children as if it's important to us, because it ought to be. But what do we teach them in example as well? I think that's something to consider. What do our children hear, you know, when we're behind the closed doors of our households? Do they hear corrupt words proceeding out of our mouth? Do they hear harmful morsels of information that are ingested and go all the way down to the inner parts of the body? They don't leave. They affect. We've got a brother in Christ who has a very interesting job in California. I don't even remember what he is, a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I always get those two mixed up, so I'm sorry about that. But at any rate, he sits down with a lot of folks and he helps a lot of folks. And a lot of the individuals that he's helped back there over in California are individuals who've struggled with homosexuality. And he sat down with them, and he's helped a lot of folks to be able, you know, to quit those kinds of activities. One of the things that he said that really stood out to me, there are several things, I'm not going to say it all there are a lot of reasons why the people that he talks to that struggle with homosexuality, there's a lot of different reasons that they talk about when they're sitting in his office. But one thing that applies to this lesson I wanted to say was one common theme among individuals who have that kind of ill nature of sexuality, one common vein that runs through a lot of their lives is bullying as they were being bullied when they were a child. And I've seen that before as well with a homosexual that I was acquainted with. And, you know, sometimes the bullying is in the home, which is terrible. You know, it's the parents that do it. It's the brothers and sisters of the child that does it. Sometimes it's outside of the home, of course, just as well. This is it's very concerning, you know. You know, and the idea when we teach our children not to bully, they've got to understand how serious that is, how that affects people as they grow older. You know, gossip, the whispering, the meddling, all of this that we're dealing with, it's bullying, you know. It's bullying as children, as adults, all of this. It is immaturity. That's all it is. It's immaturity, and there's no kindness, there's no love, there is no edification, it is only corruption. There is no grace in these kinds of things. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12 and see something that Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 33. It's just striking what Jesus is about to say here in Matthew 12, verse 33 and on. He said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You can't walk away from hearing that and realizing the gravity of the situation and how important our words are. We are judged by our words. And by our words, Jesus said, you may be justified or you may be condemned. And he points out that every careless word we speak is going to come into judgment. And so our words are very important. Now, we as Christians, we want to work every day consciously in effort to be justified by our words. We want Christ to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to us as well. We want Him to take into account the things in which we said to people, the things that we said out in the world, the things that we said to our brother, the things that we say behind closed doors, things that we said to our children, our spouse, whatever it may be, and to be justified in those things. Everything that we said, be just, be lawful, be in accordance with the Word of God, not perversity. Our words can destroy people's souls. You know, I've seen individuals. Now, it's not 100% the fault of some of the tongue of individuals. Of course, we're all accountable to our own actions. But I have seen people fall away because of something that someone else said to them. we need to be careful that we're always edifying. Proverbs 16:28 said that a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Right? And so we have to be careful what we say to one another. Because this is all we have. Here on this earth, this is all we have, is one another. And if by our words we begin to divide us, all right, to separate us, then what do we have? This is heaven right here. You know, this is the church and the citizens registered in heaven. This is a part of something bigger, something spiritual, and something everlasting that we're here. And it cannot be separated. And so we can use our tongues to bring it closer together. And we can also use our tongues to bring us further away from each other. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Now, how important is that right there? The faithful spirit conceals a matter. This is how we should be able to look at one another. You know, if we can't look at one another in this way, then we can't help one another. If we can't look one another in this way, thinking, as we scan the room, we think, oh yeah, there's faithful spirit there, there's faithful spirit there. Over here though, you know, be careful what you say to them. If that's the case, we can't even do our duties as Christians. Because James said to the brethren, James 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your trespasses. Well, that, James, that would mean that I would have to go to my brother and say, brother, I'm struggling with something. And I can't do that, because if I do, he's going to turn around and bear that tail everywhere. And he's going to destroy me. So we see how one problem in our life adds another problem, and adds another problem. And ultimately, we cannot accomplish what we need to accomplish as Christians, because something is at the root. There is evil in our hearts if we want to expose a matter. You know, when our brother comes to us for help and he confesses a difficulty, he confesses a sin, a trespass, he needs our prayers. What does James say? James doesn't say, confess your trespass to one another so that you'd have juicy morsels of, you know, to spread around the room. No, he said, let this information be known so that we can pray for one another. That you may be healed. Not that you may be destroyed. You may be healed. You can be lifted up. That you can be made stronger. That now you have a brother in confidence. And that brother in confidence can hold you accountable and can pray for you and can help you and can talk to you about the matter. So you're not going to do it again. You're not going to do it again because you know that you have a brother holding you accountable. And you have a brother praying for you. You have a brother consciously trying to help you to not sin. And so what the writer of Proverbs had pointed out, he who's of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. How important is that? That's a mature Christian. Elders in the church should be a good example of this. They should be mature Christians. And you know, who is an elder but he who knows everything that's going on in the congregation? And he knows all the matters, and he knows about the sins. But you don't hear about it, and I don't hear about it, right? Because an elder is to be of a faithful spirit. He conceals the matter. He deals with it. He handles it. And he feeds the one who is unhealthy in the flock. But we can all have a part in this. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, you've read this before, we've all read this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It doesn't parade itself, it's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. You know, nearly all of these things that he's talking about have a great effect on the tongue and what we choose to say. And the kind of success that we will have in this world, the success we'd have with one another in building each other up, the success that we would have in the world in bringing people to Christ. He points out that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We're not happy about iniquity. If we're a true Christian, we are not happy about iniquity, not our iniquity, not anyone's iniquity. It is not something to take joy in. And when we hear about a brother falling or failing, we don't get a grin on our face, you know? We don't say, yeah, that was what I was figuring was going to happen. You know, here he comes falling. You know, that's not it. He says, we find no joy in other people's sins. Where we find joy is truth. True hearts, loving hearts, compassion for one another, no rudeness, no envy, just kindness. And the first one is one of the hardest, long-suffering. Again, all of these not only have to do with the heart, they have to do with the tongue just as well. As Jesus pointed out in Matthew 12, which we had already read, he said, a good man out of a good treasure, the rich treasure in his heart, he's gonna bring forth that treasure out of his tongue. It's going to be tremendous. You know, you're going to love that person, want to be around that person. As you know that treasure is coming out of their mouths. And every time you see them, you know that you're going to have treasure. You're going to hear treasure from their mouth. And that's because their heart is good. So how do we rectify some of these things? You know, with the things we share, the information we share, the gossip, okay, that we give. The bottom line is, what is the motive? What is the motive for talking that way, for sharing those things? We've got to establish motive for everything we say. As Christians, we need to be at the top of our game all the time. We're the kind of individuals that are to be conscious of what's coming out of our mouths. And so, recognizing before we speak, what is my motive for opening my mouth? And when we have a brother and sister in Christ, we can also keep them in check by inquiring their motive. When they begin to talk to us, begin to share something with us, we might very well just ask, why are you telling me this? Let's establish motive here. proverb writer said something interesting about all this. In 26, verse 20, we had read this earlier. He said, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. There's no talebearer, strife ceases. Things are good when folks aren't talking around. So, when there's no wood, the fire goes out. How do we put the fires out? We don't feed it. We don't give it the wood it needs to burn. And so we can do a lot of things from minimal confrontation to really no confrontation whatsoever. If we have difficulty with those kinds of things, we can still do our part in for us providing no wood. Don't provide wood for someone else to light that fire, because you don't want to have to confront that. Secondly, when these things start to happen, you don't have to fuel it by continuing to listen. You can walk away, you can change the subject, and all these things, people usually would get the idea, I imagine. As Jesus talked about, the rich treasure in the heart of a good man is going to be coming out of his tongue. Philippians 4, verse 8. If we're thinking about these things, then how good will our conversation be? How edifying, how beneficial will our words be? When we are thinking on the things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy, when these are our meditation, how could we open our mouth and speak the words of death? Open our mouth and shoot out arrows and firebrands. If these are on our hearts, if we dwell on these things, then what's coming out of our mouth are praiseworthy things, virtuous things, good things, lovely things, pure things, true things. I'll leave you with one more proverb, and then the lesson be all of ours to consider and reconsider for our life. Proverbs 18, verse 21, he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There it is. Life and death in the power of the tongue. The tongue is a tremendous blessing. As I said, as I began this lesson, God has blessed us with this means of communication, and we can use it to save. We can use it to strengthen. We can use it to build people up. And we can have a tremendous effect on people's lives in so many good ways with the use of our tongue. But how often do we fail in those opportunities? The temptation of sin is too great. Let's talk about bad things. Let's talk about coarse things, all right? Let's talk about other, people. Whatever it might be. May we be watchful at all times, realizing that we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And our life must reflect Him. And you know that Jesus was not a gossiper. You know that every word He said was in love and in kindness. And so if we're going to be the sons of our Father in heaven, these sons and daughters of light, then we need to consider our hearts, consider our mouths, and we need to make use of our time on this earth, making use of the opportunities God has given us to be able to benefit others and help them in their salvation. I appreciate your time this morning. If there's anyone who desires to respond to the invitation call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what is your hesitation? What has kept you from this? If you believe in the Lord, then won't you repent of your sins? Won't you confess His name and be baptized for the remission of your sins? If that describes your need, then please come forward while together we stand and sing.